for the first time since the Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act last year, a federal appeals court has upheld state bans on same-sex marriage. Yesterday, the Sixth Circuit Court in Cincinnati overturned lower court rulings to keep same-sex marriage illegal in Michigan, Ohio, Tennessee, and Kentucky. This runs counter to the trend of appeals courts across the country ruling in favor of same-sex marriage. The ruling appears likely that makes it appear likely that the Supreme Court will take up the issue now that there's a contradiction among the lower courts. Last month, the Supreme Court declined to take up challenges to rulings in a number of states, including here in Wisconsin, making same-sex marriage effectively legal here. Central Times legal affairs correspondent Kimmy King joins us now. She's an associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here. How are you?
Good. Well, this is the first appeals court in the country to uphold a ban on same-sex marriage. Did this surprise you?
Well, it is reversing the trend. And in fact, I think the thing that is interesting about it is that there had been such overwhelming support out of much more conservative regions in the United States, that is what is somewhat surprising. I mean, the 4th, the 7th, the 9th, and the 10th Circuit have all allowed same-sex marriage to go forward, and then the 6th Circuit comes in with this. And remember, there is a federal judge in Louisiana who had struck down, who had said that the states could ban same-sex marriage. I think it's also important to point out that that Sixth Circuit decision is a 2-1 decision, and I think undoubtedly everyone is going to be looking to see whether or not the Sixth Circuit takes it up as an en banc review case where the whole circuit, all of the judges that sit in the Sixth Circuit, would sit and listen to the arguments and see if that three-judge panel made the right decision.
What was the rationale from the two-justice majority?
Well, one of the more interesting things about it, and you see this in the one judge's dissent who said that it reads more like a lecture on political philosophy, one of the points that was made was that because this is such a major change to how the states have operated in the past, that this ought to be something that we defer to the voters on, and basically made the argument for what we call judicial restraint. In essence, saying courts should not rush in where voters have already treaded. Now, one of the difficult things about that is that it's not just voter initiatives, but it's also been that courts have weighed in on it about fundamental rights. One of the things about voter initiatives that everyone always points out is that you have to be careful if you're talking about something that is a fundamental right. Recall that the South would have loved to have had a referendum on slavery, right? And so this concern that somehow the voters know best is always something that can create a concern if it's a fundamental right.
Now, looking ahead, does this mean the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, will finally take this up after declining to hear appeals in the past?
I think so. The only thing we know on this is that Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg had said there was no reason to take this case right now because there was no disagreement in the circuits. And I think especially given the fact that this decision came down after Election Day, it was the opposite direction of the other four circuits that have taken this up. It certainly is an indication that there may be a greater willingness to take this kind of battle on. So I think that's what everybody is going to be watching to see whether or not the court wants to sit it out and maybe let a couple more circuits weigh in before they actually take it up. But without a doubt, one of the things that the court looks at when it decides what kinds of cases to take is whether or not there is a split among the circuits. And right now we have a split, except you really basically only have two appellate judges and one district court judge going up against approximately 15 other judges that have heard this case. Is that a true enough circuit split? Not clear.
Could it happen that the Supreme Court takes this up, agrees with this latest court ruling, and then overturns all those rulings that allowed same-sex marriage in so many states?
Yeah, this is going to be very interesting because the court is in an uncharted area here. And it will be a very, I am sure that right now there is a conversation and dialogue going on at the Supreme Court about how to handle this, because in the Windsor and the Perry cases, all the court had basically said is the federal government shouldn't get involved in regulating marriage because that's been reserved to the states. This is now different because you have states saying, yeah, and when it gets left to us, we are going to regulate it away. Understand that many of these initiatives were done 5, 7, 9, over a decade ago. And in that intervening decade, public opinion has changed. So I think that if the court does take it up, and I think they are going to take it up, I don't know that they're going to take it up immediately following this Sixth Circuit decision. They might wait for a couple more appeals that are working their way up in the ranks. But if they do, be ready, because what you will start see happening is there are going to be those states that pass new initiatives to allow gay marriage because public opinion has changed so much.
So what happens if the Supreme Court doesn't take it up in the meantime? Is it just a patchwork still?
It is a patchwork, and that's one of the things that is a concern that commentators are focusing to, is that you're really left at the mercy of whatever your state is about the kind of rights that you have. And that can create a concern. But be ready for this, because this is not just an issue about, I think, same-sex marriage. I think it reflects a larger issue regarding federalism and the way in which the United States is changing and how we view the states. You know, it used to be that physician-assisted suicide, for example, was only legal in 2 states. It's now we're moving very quickly toward it being allowed in 4 states, and other states are taking it up. Look at the elections on Tuesday, where you had 3 states in D.C. legalize recreational marijuana. I mean, this whole notion of a patchwork of laws in the area that states regulate is going to do nothing but continue to increase.
Briefly, I wanted to ask you, the Supreme Court announced today that it's taking up a challenge to subsidies in the Affordable Care Act. What's at stake here?
So I'm going to once again make kind of the same argument I just made, and that is what is at the heart in the King versus Burwell decision that is going to be reviewed by the court is the extent to which the federal government can provide subsidies to those states that don't create medical exchanges. And once again, we have this idea of how much federal, what is the scope of federal control? What can the federal government do to encourage certain kinds of policies? And then what are the limits of where the federal government can intervene? And that's in essence what that case is about. Can the federal government give those subsidies to states that didn't adopt medical exchanges? And so it's the first volley, I think, in what are going to be several launches of volleys on the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare as it's referred to, because certainly the new Republican administration has indicated that in Congress it has a mandate to try to limit affordable care. It's going to be interesting because this is certainly one of those areas that could be damning for the Affordable Care Act. And if the federal government was, you know, prohibited from providing those subsidies to the states, it would undermine the core base of Obamacare.
All right, Kemi, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you. You take it easy, guys.
We've been speaking with Kemi King, Central Time legal affairs correspondent and associate professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Yesterday, for the first time since the Supreme Court struck down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act last year, a federal appeals court has upheld state bans on same-sex marriage.